Parsha Shelach. This parsha is most probably the most tragic parsha in the Torah. You know, even with the Egel, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, to use the word furious is the correct word, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to wipe Klal Yisrael off the map, start again with Moshe Rabbeinu, but ultimately, Klal Yisrael had a kapara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Slachti Kidvarecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. In this week's parsha, we find that Klal Yisrael did the greatest miscalculation in history, and they never ever were forgiven for it. They're never forgiven. The maisa of the Meraglim of sending out spies and coming back with Lashon Hara by Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael accepting it, and the miscalculations that went on from there was never ever forgiven. The Chorbonus, the tragedies that happened from that time, the Medrash says that from that night, the cry that night, that when Bechila Doris, generations, the Chorbonus of the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, the First World War, is all connected to Tisha B'Av that began on the night that they cried, the time of the Meraglim. In other words, in the history of the Jewish nation, in the thousands and thousands of years that Klal Yisrael have been connected to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, there has never been a chet, there's never been a miscalculation on behalf of Klal Yisrael that's quite as bad as this. Okay? What was this? Why was it so bad? I mean, if you look into the parasha a little bit within the Rashis, then you see that we're talking about a doyer of a generation of people who had left Mitzrayim. We have a generation of people who had seen the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, seen Kriyas Yamsuf, seen Mitzrayim being completely obliterated, living off the Mon, living off the water of the Be'er, going through a desert, being completely surrounded by Nanei HaKavod, following Amud Eish, living every day of every moment of their life through Nisim, and they became full-blown Apokorsim. They became full-blown Apokorsim. The Pasuk says, in Pasuk, Perid Gimel Pasuk Lamed Aleph, V'anoshim asher ole imoy omru, loy nuchal la'alis esa'om, we cannot bring up the nation, ki chozok hu mi menu. It is too strong, mimenu. What's mimenu, says Rashi? Mimenu kavayochul klapi malo omru. It's too strong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot possibly help us here. It's too much for him. They became apokorsim. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, we're not talking about people who, you know, Nebuch, who are stuck amongst the goyim, have not seen Gilu Shechina, don't have leaders. We're talking about the doyer deo, the generation who had just received the Torah, who stood by Har Sinai, had received prophecy, each one of them, Rabbi Shalom spoke to them, and these people came up a Korsin. What happened? How did these tribes, how did the Nasiim, not Nasiim, these people, the Anoshim, the spies, how were they able to convince Klal Yisrael, and not talking about the Erev Rav, Rosh Sanhedrios, the main parts, the creme de la creme of Klal Yisrael, how did they manage to convince them that it's impossible to go into Eretz Yisrael and make them an Apokorsin? How was that Shaykh? How is it possible that these people who left over, the Pasuk says, Kulam Anoshim, says Rashi, Kol Anoshim Shemikul Loshim Chashivus, Va'isa Shok Sherim Hoyu, they're a kosher. These people were tzaddikim. How did it happen that these tzaddikim became such apikorsim, and how were they able to influence Klal Yisrael to the levels that they actually bought this story, Mamash hook, line and sinker? How is it Shaykh? And more than that, if that's the case, if it's possible that a whole generation of Dor Deah can be so affected by a story, how do we make sure that we don't chas v'shalom end up like them? What do we have to do here? So the Chofetz Chaim al HaTorah, the Chofetz Chaim Shmeres Loshon says like this. He says, it's a beautiful Chofetz Chaim, and the scary thing is that how practical it is today. He said the first stage of the report that was Lashon Hara ultimately from the Meraglim was, he said to them, Vizer Pirio, they came with these fruits, these huge gigantic fruits, these ninja fruits, you know, these absolutely massive fantastic fruits. He said, these are the fruits. He said, Rashi, Vizer Pirio Kishem Sheperisem Mushuna Kach Amo Mushuna. Just that these fruits are unusual or monstrous, so too is a nation living there monstrous. In other words, we're dealing here with an inconquerable nation. Seven mighty nations. You're talking about Kanani, Yechiti, Moiri. These people are not little tribes. They actually were representing different nations around the world. These were powerful, powerful people. And they were entrenched in Eretz Yisrael for hundreds and hundreds of years. They had fortified cities that were high, huge walls. They had giants roaming the lands. And they came along, and these little Yidden, yeah, who hadn't been, you know, trained in self-defense or warfare, and they're coming along and they're going to try and conquer this land. They're going to try and win over these strong, seven strong nations. How's it, Shaykh? We're not being apikorsim. We're just being realistic. We're being realistic. We cannot do it. It's impossible. Ah, you say, okay, but you know, a Rebbe, we've got Tamid Chacham, we've got Nisim. No, we haven't. Last week, said Eldor the Medod gave Nevuah, gave prophecy in the Machne that Moshe Bein is going to die, and therefore we don't even have Moshe Bein to rely on. Therefore, Lein Samichin Al Anes, we don't rely on Anes, and therefore to come into Eretz Yisrael and to live and conquer a land that has these kind of crazy powerful nations surrounding it and living inside it and entrenched in it is absolutely physically impossible. And therefore, what are we going to do? Yeush. We give up. Not only that, the next stage was Eretz Oyecheles Yoshevel. We're talking about a land, even if it was possible for us to actually get in there and conquer it, it's impossible to live there long term. This is a land that gobbles up its inhabitants. These people, we see Nevaya after Nevaya. We see how it's impossible to live as Eretz Yisrael, as an Am Kol almost. Eretz Yisrael does not survive as a regular nation, and it never has. Eretz Yisrael has never had the laws of economics applying to it. The whole world is going into crisis. This little tiny Israel, where 4.5 people are making panasa, yet is living and defying all facts of the recession. This little tiny land that every Arab wants to kill it is surviving. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And therefore, for us to live in Eretz Yisrael requires us to be extra special, to be extra sensitive, to be extra kodesh. How can we live a life like that? How is it shaykh for us to live on an ongoing basis to be a special nation? It's too much for us. And therefore, Rabbi Yisai, that's it. We cannot be here. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's exactly what happens to us on a daily basis. This kind of apikorsis, this kind of negativity that the Yetzer Hara speaks to us regularly. We all know that chas v'sholom to steal a pruta from another person, you chayv to come down as a gilgul to repay it. You have to pay its gazela. To speak one word of Lashon Hara, you're over 17 lavin, 14 essin sometime, 3 arurin. You're dealing here with terrible, terrible averus. Are we careful not to speak a single word of Lashon Hara? We know this. We know it. So what do we say to it? What do we say to ourselves? Of course, I don't chas v'sholom, not apikorus. I don't believe that there aren't these lavim or essin or arurim. But that's made for special people. There's special people who can cope never speaking Lashon Hara. You get tzaddikim like that. You get purushim. You get people who are anshei maisa. You know, not special people, but I'm not one of these people. I'm not part of that club. Not being mevatel Torah for a minute. You get Ruchan Kanievsky, you got the Chazanish, you get people in that, but for me, it's not meant for people like me. Being Donkavs, you get special, very nice people, but for me. So we get a situation where the Yetzer Hara manages to convince us that it's not for you. It's impossible for you to conquer the Yetzer Hara, and it's impossible to live a life that is constantly working in Dalif Nimiyato image. You can't live that way, you go crazy. It's not meant for us, it's meant for special, unique people. Hilchah Shabbos, I'll try my best, but to know all the halachas and to know everything that's neger to it and to keep every single thing, I don't barach, more or less, but it's not for me. Go to a restaurant, Dafka Mahadrim restaurant, that's for the frumas. I'm able to go, as long as I know, you know, that it says a hechsher on it, and I've seen some frum people eating there, but to actually keep all the chrumas of all the hechsherim, it's not for me. That, says the Chofetz Chaim, is mamish the Yitzhar tells us, and he sells us daily. And that is apikorsis. That is apikorsis. That is complete apikorsis. Why? Because every single person has a capability to keep every single one of the mitzvahs the way it should be brought down. The way, with all his diktukim, with all his chumras, everything. Not today. It may take you your whole lifetime to work up to that level. But a mice is possible, and therefore we have to work today to reach levels, high and high levels in Chesed, in Yerushalayim, in Tefillah, in Limud Torah. We have to do that. There's a mitzvah to learn Chol HaTorah Kula. Know everything. Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, Tor, Rambam, Medrash, Medrash Rabba, Medrash Zutta, you name it, everything. Zohar Kodesh, the works, everything. Ah, oh, come on, you get people like that. No! Chiv on you. You can't do it all today. Let's learn a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. But to say it's impossible, to say it's not for me, is mamish the words of the Meraglim. Eretz Yisrael is inconquerable. We can't do it. To live in that state is beyond us. That is not Yiddishkeit. That is a chet that brought down the Meraglim. And it's very strong. Tehillah is very, very strong. So let's understand how we've got to work around that. How do we get around this Yetzer Hara? What do we do to ensure that if we are at levels that are completely not holding, levels that unfortunately many parts of Klal Yisrael are, and ourselves included, sometimes we are at levels that, you know, we're very, very distant from being Yirei Shamayim, very distant from Kibbutz Chol HaTorah Kula. What do we have to work on in order to encourage ourselves to eventually, Be'ez Hashem, conquer this Yetzer Hara and live on a regular basis on this level, in this plane of living, RP Kedusha Tahara that is demanded from us? So one of the most fascinating characters in Tanakh is brought down in this week's Haftorah. This week's Haftorah describes Yeshua sent a group of spies to go out to Eretz Yisrael just before they came into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it doesn't even say who they are. Vayishlach Yeshua ben Nun min Ashitim Shnayim Anoshim Meraglim Cheresh Leimor. He sent secretly two people to go out to Eretz Yisrael, quietly to go out to Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't say who they are. L'churu u'is ha'oretz, go and check out the land. And these two people went along. V'yelchu v'yevoyu beis ishol zoyno u'shmo rochov. They came to a house of a woman who's a zoyna, she's a prostitute. V'yishkavu shoma, and they dwelled there. Okay? Now, the pasuk talks about how they got up there, and it talks about there were three things. There was a chaloin, and says later on, there's a just 1 second. Chevel chaloin and chaymo. In other words, he climbed over the wall. He climbed through the window, and through this plan of climbing through the window and climbing into a window and pretending and hiding there, they managed to stay there, and they came back and they gave over the report, and it was a very successful mission. Okay, now. Who is this Rachel Azoina? Who is this Rachel? What's the history behind her? Why did they actually choose to stay by Rachel Azoina? You know, he stayed by Rachel Azoina. What's going on? Who is this Rachel Azoina? So let me give you a bit of background to her. The Gemara says, "Ein lecho kol sar v'nogid." There's not a single sar, not a single minister, v'nogid, and wealthy person, shleibo al Rachel Azoina, that did not come and frequent Rachel Azoina. Rachel Azoina was the superstar of Znus. There wasn't a single person who was worth any money who did not come and visit Rachel Azoina. She was well known everywhere. Her name was the name. She was the address. The Gemara says, "Bas Yud Shonim Hoisa, Kishiyotso Kladiso Mitzrayim." She was 10 years old when Kladiso left Mitzrayim. "Vezonso Kol Mem Shono Shoyiso Midbar." She started a career at 10 years old, and for the next 40 years, she had a very prosperous career being a Zoina. Okay? So 10 years old she started, and for 40 years constantly she was a Zoina. The Gemara says, Kolama Harahira Barochov Miyab Nikra. A person even just thinks about Rochov Azoina, the Chet is so strong that it will overcome him. That was Rochov. She was Avi Avoy Satuma. Avi Avoy Satuma. You know, if I may say so, you know, she made Madonna look like a fairy. You know, that was what she was. A complete, full of mole zimo, mole znus, a complete dreadligger, complete nothing. That was Rachel Azoina. What happened to her, boys? Listen to this. She became a Geyerus. Who did she marry? Yoshua. She married the God Lador. Says the Gemara, Zochso, she yotza mimeno ches neviim v'koinim. Neviim and koinim gedolim came out of the shidduch. This Isha Zaino, this woman, who is a Via Vaisatuma, this Madonna, married the God Lador, and Koinim Gedolim, and Melochim came out from this woman. How is it shaykh such a thing? How did she do it? This is an ultimate balas tshuva. From the very low, Mekimi Ma'ofa Dol, Ma'ashbois Yorim Evyoim, from nothing she became great. How did she do this? Says the Gemara, you know how? Says the Gemara, Omra Lefon Rebbeinu Shleilom, B'shleisha Chatosi Lefanechel, I sinned in front of you with three things. Bechevel, Bechaloim, Ubechoimo. With a rope, with a window, and with a wall. And therefore, B'shleisha Mecholi, with these three things, forgive me. And therefore she helped the spies with a wall and a rope, etc., etc. Asks Rav Shimon Schwab, what's going on over here? What is this concept Bechlal? Isn't this genius? This most beautiful, beautiful thought. What's this idea Bechlal of she had a window, a wall, and a rope? In other words, you had a window, okay? Outside the window, there's a rope, and a person climbs up the wall with a rope into the window. One second. This isn't a clandestine operation. This isn't something that nobody knew about. Every single person knew who Rachel Azona was. She probably had this beautiful palace with big flashing lights outside. Everyone knew. She had a big front door. Yeah. She probably had a secretary. And everyone knew. You get on the point with Rachel Azona. What is this idea of people coming through a window? It's this kind of secret operation here. She knew exactly what everyone knew who she was. What's this idea? Why is she doing this? And she says, because I sinned with this, with these three things, that's why I'm going to do tshuva with these three things. She didn't sin with that. She sinned through her front door. She sinned by opening a front door to teams of people, hundreds of thousands of people, who came to snusas on a daily basis. She didn't do that with a window. Occasionally, maybe she may have used a window for something to climb up. But Avera was done on a regular basis by her being famous, opening up a front door. So what's Mishnah? I sinned through this, that's why I'm going to have my kapara. That is what Rav Shimon Schwab asks. Ask Rav Shimon Schwab a mayim basis she'evo, and this is a klal which is fascinating. He says, why was she opening her window up to people who want to climb through her window? Everyone knew who she was. You know, the ministers, nothing's changed, right? The senators, the diplomats, they were all going visiting her. The footballers, they were all visiting her. Everyone knew who she was, right? So now, you know, so go through a front door, make an appointment, and come inside like a mensch, sit there waiting there with everyone else. No. Occasionally you would have one fellow who's embarrassed. And he did not want to go through the front door. So he would, you know, text message her, do me a favor, you know, I'm gonna go climb through the window. You know, I'm gonna dress up in my balaclava and my frog suit. I'm gonna climb through the window, open the window, let me in through the window. I don't want anyone to see me. Right? And she'd open up the window and he'd climb on the wall and he'll go through that way. Now, what could she say to this man? Take a hike, you crazy? What, you embarrassed? What are you embarrassed about? Everyone's doing this. How many people have come to me? How many ministers have come to me? Members of parliament, members of, who knows? Everyone's come to her. What are you driving yourself crazy? Coming through a window, Bismashugah, are you crazy? No. Says Chazal, she used to open a window, she used to throw a rope down, this person climbing through her window. Why? Because even Rachel Azona, at that stage of being the most disgusting, despicable Zoyna in the world, she had a sensitivity that if this person is embarrassed with what he's doing, I am sensitive to that. I'm sensitive, if this man has sneers, even though he's doing an Avera, but the fact that he's embarrassed by doing an Avera, I'm going to play my part, I'm going to allow him not to be embarrassed. And I'm going to open the window, he shouldn't be embarrassed. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. No, this person is embarrassed, and I respect the fact that he's embarrassed, because there is something wrong here. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, because she still had that sensitivity, that tiny spark inside her was what made the fire of her be able to become a Baras Tshuva. The fact that she still had that tiny bit of sensitivity towards sneers, she focused on that, and with that she built herself up to become the Godel Hador's wife. That is a koyach of focusing on a small nakuda that a person has still living inside them. The fact that she is willing to use a rope, the wall, and the window, that sensitivity allowed her to eventually become the great Rachel, the wife of Yeshua. Rav Shimon Schwab brings from the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem says in Hazino, I think it is, it says, "Im yedin dachokol shemei ashamayim, Im yegachol b'kseh ha-shamayim, if you are scattered to the corners of Shemayim, Mishon mikabetz ha-shem alekecho, Mishon mikachech ha-shem will take you from there. Now, who's scattered to the corners of Shemayim? Who are we talking to? Astronauts? Pilots? Who is scattered to the corners of the heavens? Say, if he's scattered to the corners of the earth, I will bring it back from Golus. But who's scattered to the corners of the heavens? Says a Baal Shem, we're talking about a person who's a choiter, a person who's a sinner. And as long as he has a tiny bit of Shemayimius, a tiny bit of ruchnius inside him, and he's working in that tiny bit of ruchnius, I will take back that ruchnius and bring him back through that, and I will make him back a Baal Tshuva through that piece of ruchnius. The Mepharshim say, Al tihi rosha b'fnei atzmachol. Don't be a rosha in front of yourself. If you say, I'm a complete rosha, nothing is good that's ever going to come out from me, you're lost. As long as a person can identify, yes, I'm going to be doing this chas v'chalila. Yes, I'm going to rosha v'zayin chas v'chalila. But I'm embarrassed about it. That embarrassment, a tiny bit of sneers, work on that sneers and you become great. That is why, by the way, says Rishim Shabbat, we have Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur. If a person just works, oh, yeah, I'm a chotosi, or visi, pshati, I'm a sinner, I'm terrible averus I'm doing, you can never ever crawl out of that. What do? We have Rosh Hashanah. Bein Shleilam. Bria Sa'odom. Etzelem Elakim. I'm created like Rebein Shleilam. I've got capacity, I've got capability to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu to a certain level. That is what you work on, and then you can start doing tshuva. So the first idea over here is, from this Haftorah, is that when a Yetzirah comes and says, you can't manage, who are you already? Who are you? Do me a favor. No, you got to find the Nekudah Sa'emes. You got to find that Nekudah that you are great. Work on that Nekudah. Grow and grow and grow. A person can actually reach levels of Rachav HaZayna and become to the Rachav, the wife of the Godla Hador. But just focusing on that particular Nekudah of Godless inside them, that they can identify with and use to grow. What an amazing vort. Fantastic, fantastic vort. That is Rosh Shimon Shvab on this particular part of the Haftorah. Everyone understand? Yeah. But this doesn't only happen with yourself. This chiv applies to other people too. I said this vort over several times. You know, I was years back, I used to teach for Discovery for Eishah Torah. And when you say Eishah Torah is Yeshiva, where, what was my expression I used to say? The Eishah Torah Discovery Series is an organization that can rightfully claim to be reaching places that other beards don't reach. You know? And they used to go all over the world. And in one particular case, they actually went and they visited a high security jail in America, in New York. I'm not sure exactly where. And these people inside there are I don't know, rapists and paedophiles and murderers and the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. Terrible, terrible, terrible people. And unfortunately, there were some Jews there as well, so they made a discovery program for them. And they said the fear of going inside these places, the security, the check after the check, the people all, you know, shaking their the doors at them and yelling anti-Semitic slurs. And he said it was fear. You can't imagine the fear. You can't imagine what was going on there. It was tremendously, it was terribly, terribly traumatizing for them. And they described after exactly how what it was like, and this chevra came in, and they really were interested in what was going on, and actually they're quite much more gentle than you thought they would be, an old discussion. And then he said, yeah, and we had to finish off the shiur early because there was visitors hour after that, therefore we had to finish early because the visitors are coming, and da 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 da. So I was amazed that these people actually had visitors. How can a person possibly go and spend his Sunday afternoon visiting one of these people? He just shut up a whole kindergarten. He just taken a 12-year-old girl and raped her. Right? You visit such a man? The guy's an animal. He's a monster. How can you visit such a person? Why do you waste your Sunday afternoon, beautiful weather outside? Go to the park, enjoy yourself. How can you possibly love these people? The pshat is that every single one of these people, or almost everyone, unless they shot them and murdered them in cold blood, has a mother, has a wife, has a daughter, has a friend, has a cousin who appreciates them, has a little picture of them on the mantelpiece. How? How's it shayach? How's it possible? How's it possible? The terrorist is because they don't see them as a murderer. They have seen the nakuda of kindness in this person. He's very sensitive. You know, he's had bad friends, he got badly influenced, but he's really such a nice person. And they've focused on that nakuda of being good, that nakuda of being nice, that nakuda of being sensitive, and they've actually can love that person and spend precious time and effort to go and visit that person. If you focus on a particular nakuda of toiv in another human being, you can love them. If you focus on the ra, you can hate them. Lamaisa, the Meraglim said no false testimony at all. They came and they said, Lamaisa, Eretz Yisrael is a beautiful country, but there are giants, and there's big fruit, and there's huge walls, and it's impossible. Was that a lie? The answer is no. Of course it's not a lie. But if you focus only on the bad, and draw the pictures only bad, as being the picture, that's the biggest sheker. They should have said everything else, how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is. To focus on another individual and see only his bad is sheker. To see his good is a mitzvah hafter reyachu kumoichu, to love his nekudas ha'emes. Where a person works and does what he possibly can to take his nekudas ha'emes, to take his nekudah of the little pintle yid inside himself and grow with it and build himself with that, as exactly Rabbeinu Shalom wants. And certainly if a person sees a nekudah as somebody else and begins to love him, that is what the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. There's a beautiful story I saw recently, and touched by a story, that there was a famous family called the Podolskys, Podorovskys. They're a family who are in tremendous pianists, and they made a concert, I'm not sure exactly where, somewhere in Europe somewhere, I'm not sure exactly where, the exact details of the story. Yeah, somewhere else. And there was one family who were very, very poor, and but they loved music. The mother used to play the piano. He has a little 5-year-old son who was a progeny. He played the piano very well as a little tiny, you know, little boy. He's ready, 4 or 5 year olds already playing Twinkle Twinkle. And the parents are really proud of this little boy, and they wanted him to be really great one day. So they took him. The mother decided to take him to this beautiful concert of Podorovsky. And the mother said to the little boy, listen, be very careful. Do not move. Do not go anywhere. You have to listen nicely. You've got to behave yourself. It's dark there. If you get lost, you may not find me. Fine. No problem. The boy goes there. And he's all scrubbed up. His hair is all sleeked back. And, you know, he's shining. And he's got a little borrowed suit from a neighbor. And his shoes are all shiny. And he goes and holds his mother's hand. He goes to this beautiful theater. And there inside there, there's chandeliers. And there's tapestries. And there's rows and rows of benches. And there on the stage is this huge grand piano with a light shining on it. And his mother starts talking to her neighbor next to her and starts chatting, and this little boy, you know, his mind starts dreaming. He says, can you imagine what it would be like for me to go on that concert stage, for me to go on this stage and start playing that piano? Wow, can you imagine that? A beautiful big piano. Never seen such a big piano before. And as his mother's talking, his hand slips away and he disappears. And his mother turns around, tries to find him, and already the lights have dimmed. And it's impossible to find anybody. Everyone looks the same. And mother starts getting frantic. And this boy makes his way up onto the stage. And suddenly, the curtains lift a little bit higher. And there, to the shock of the mother, this little boy is sitting on this leather chair, in front of this grand piano. And everyone, you know, what's going on over here? And he starts playing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. In walks Podorovsky, the world famous Podorovsky, and instead of saying, get off, clear off, you horrible little boy, he sits behind him and he says, carry on son, you're doing very well. And he holds a little child's fingers, and together they start playing most unbelievable harmony and a melody of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And there's a crescendo, and there's a melody and a harmony, and there's different keys, and from this little very basic song there's this most unbelievable symphony of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, with Podorovsky playing the little 5-year-old boy, the Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And eventually there's a climax, and he finished the song, and everyone's a standing ovation, everyone is standing up clapping and cheering, and this boy, little 5-year-old boy, stands next to the famous Podorovsky and gives a bow. and he's become a sensation. Unbelievable. And Paderewski thanks him so much for doing this wonderful, wonderful job for making the evening. And it made the evening. He made the evening. This is a famous story. But Bala Musa say, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes all we know is one little song. All we know is Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. That's all we know. But we really want to get onto the center stage. We want to get up there and make an impression. But how are we going to do this? The little Kudasa Emes inside us. How are we going to become great? How are we going to come from a Rochav Azoina? How are we going to become from her into the wife of the God Lador? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're playing a little song, Twinkle, Twinkle. You want to be there? You're working that Nakuda. You're playing with that Nakuda. I will sit. You sit on my lap, and together we will make this into a sensation. I'll help you, and we'll make this into the most greatest, beautiful piece of music Poland has ever heard. That is a koyach that we have. And that is the first koyach. And the Yitzhahara comes along and tries to push us down. No, we got this Nakuda Se'emes. Are we going to work this Nakuda Se'emes and push and push and push and make ourselves really great? That's the first couple of lessons of the parasha. Okay, time is really running out, but there's a couple of other Nakudas I just want to quickly cover. The Gemara says, okay, you know what, I'm going to skip this one out. If you look at the end of the, if you look in the Haftorah again, work with this Haftorah, it says, "Vayishach Yishua ben Numen Hashemayim Shnei Anoshim." Do you know who these Shnei Anoshim were? Very good, Kolev and Pinchos. Okay, these Shnei Anoshim were Kolev and Pinchos, right? These Shnei Anoshim, Kolev and Pinchos. Asks Rav Zilberstein, why is it that we don't mention the names? Vayishlach Yishua ben Numen Hashitim Shnei Anoshim. Shnei Anoshim means two anonymous people. I mean, these people weren't anonymous. They're a Pinchos. Everyone knows who Pinchos is. There's a whole parasha named after him. And Kolev. Everyone knows who Kolev is. So why refer to Shnayim Anoshim Aragim, two people Anoshim? Say! And he said, two high-profile individuals, Kolev, and sure enough, they went. Why Shnayim Anoshim? On the contrast, in this week's parasha, we have people never heard of Shofar ben Chayri. Wow. You know? Yigal ben Yosef. Palti ben Rofli. Gadiel ben Soidi. These people never heard of, never heard of again, and we say exactly who they are. And, and when it comes to the people who are really high profile, doesn't even say the name. What's the idea? Why? Furthermore, in the Haftorah it says, "Vayishach shuv ben numen ashitim shleim anoshim meraglim cheresh lemoir." Cheresh lemoir really means cheresh lemoir, secretly, secretly a cheresh, like in secret, like to be deaf. Very quietly he sent them cheresh lemoir. Says the Gemara, what's Cheresh Leimoir? Says the Medrash, Sha'osu Atzmon Kekadorim. They dressed up and they pretended to be people who sold earthenware. Vahoyud Svachin Harek Deiroi. So they go along and say, oh, here's earthenware vessels, please buy earthenware vessels. Misha Yirtse Yobay Vayikin. Anyone wants to come along, should come along and buy them. So again, the word Cheresh, it changed the word Cheres. Right, cheres is earthenware, cheres. Therefore, the idea was they dressed up not as, you know, as I don't know, shopkeepers, but they became cheres. They became cheres. They went along and they sold cheres. Why dafka that? What was the idea behind that? So he brings another medrash, and the medrash says, "We'll finish off with this." The Medrash says, excuse me. The Medrash talks about the phenomenal koyach of Shulchei Mitzvah. And the Gemara says that Shulchei Mitzvah ain't in the Zokain, and the Gemara talks about that person as Shulchei Mitzvah is potter from Sukkah and Lulav. It talks about the inyanim of Shulchei Mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, and who the Shulchei Mitzvah? Who is the element of Shulchei Mitzvah? The greatest Shulchei Mitzvah in history were these Shnei Anoshim, these two people who went along as Shulchei Mitzvah of Yeshua to go along as spies. Asked Zilberstein, what was so great about these Shulchei Mitzvah more than anyone else? Why were these people so unique in the Shulchei Mitzvah? There are plenty of Shulchei Mitzvah. A person davens tefillah b'tzibur, who's a shatz, a shluch tzibur. Why dafka the shluchim mitzvah? What's the idea behind them as being somehow unique? As these were the ultimate shluchim mitzvah. What was so special about them? It was a dangerous mission? Fine! But why are they ultimately the shluchim mitzvah? Why does the Chazal talk about them as being the most perfect shluchim mitzvah? It says of Zolberstein like this. He said, who were they compared to Yeshua? They weren't Talmidim of Yeshua. They were contemporaries. They had the same Rebbe. They had Moshe Rabbeinu. They're great people as well. And what did they do? When Yeshua sent them on a mission, they didn't say to him, Yeshua, you're sending us. Okay, you know what? We'll do the job, but you're not sending us. We know we're independent. We'll do our own mission. We know what's important to be done. We'll go ourselves. We're independent. We've got independent thinkers over here. No. They completely gave up who they were. They became total shluchim. They became totally nullified to the rotzen of Yeshua, and they were sent. You want us to go? Fine. We're nothing. We'll go for you. We are our shaleach. We'll carry on and fulfill your mission. It's not our mission, it's your mission. That was the koyach of shluchim mitzvah. We've been talking about till now the koyach of becoming great, of realizing the potential within yourself to become great and building yourself up as being the great, great person from the little person that you are inside you. And realizing the potential of another human being from the little person that's inside them. But the danger of that is, if you realize how great you are, you're not willing to listen to other people. You're not willing to become a Talmud. You're not willing to become a Shliach Mitzvah. Here the Parsha tells us, in Parshas Shalach Lecha, that the biggest danger for a person anywhere is to think of themselves as being great. Being too great. Kulam Anoshim. Ah! These are people there. You know what the names are? This famous person, that famous person. I am something great. And therefore what happens to that, Rachmana Litzlan, a person thinks they're great and a Kodesh Baruch Hu shows them how small they are and they get completely blown off track. In this particular Haftorah, for the mission to be successful, it didn't even say their names. There is Shnayim Anoshim, totally anonymous. We're nothing. We are Shluchim of Yeshua. That's all we are. In fact, what did they dress up as? As Kli Cheres. People who sold Kli Cheres. What is the uniqueness of Kli Cheres earthenware vessels? You know the uniqueness in Hilchos Tumah and Tahara? A Kli Cheres cannot receive Tumah from the outside. If a person whose Tomei touches Kli Cheres on the outside does not become Tomei. Why? Because ultimately Kli Cheres is Afer. It's just dust. It doesn't become Tomei. How does the Kli Cheres become Tomei? Only by Tumah goes inside the Kli Cheres. And then, because as a chashivus, because it is valuable, that it is able to hold something, to retain something, that is a chashivus of a Kli Cheres. These two people, Kolev and Pinchos, they were nothing. We're Kli Cheres. We're nothing. When we are sent by Yeshua, do we have an individual deah? When the God of Hados tells us to do something, I hear what you're saying, but I disagree. Yeah, I'm also something. I've got the Kudos HaEmes inside me. I'm great. Yes. But when somebody else greater than you tells you what to do, when he is sending you in a shlichus, when he is trying to direct you, then you have to follow like as if you're Kli Cheres. Like you're absolutely nothing. I'm not Mekabel Tumah. There's nothing I'm offer. The only value I have is the amount I'm able to be Mekabel. How much I'm able to accept from a third party. That is my only value. How much I'm willing to listen to other people and grow from the advice of other people. That is the value of this mission. They were successful because they were Shnei Anoshim, two anonymous people. So here we have in this week's parasha two opposites. We begin the parasha with the dangers of Meraglim. The dangers of living within the limitations of which are self-imposed by the Yetzer Hara. You can't conquer me and you can't live on a high level. That's what the Yetzer Hara teaches us and trains us to think day by day. That is what he's marketing to us. And that is what we buy every single day from his advertising campaign. It's too much. Impossible. We can't keep it all. This week's parasha tells us that was Meraglim's mistake. The Haftorah tells us how to be completely different. The Haftorah shows us we take a Roch of Azoina, and from her small Nakuda, she took herself a Lekai Neshomash and a Sata Bitohiri, that little Pintala Yid, the little dot of shame, of appreciation she had for Tznius, propelled her to the greatest heights of being the wife of the God Lahador, of Yeshua, of children and grandchildren coming out, Kedoshim and Tohirim. That is a koyach of building ourselves up. That is a koyach of appreciating and seeing the greatness of another Jew, focusing on his good. On the other hand, don't let that chas v'sholem interfere with listening and getting advice from other people. Making ourselves too great not to be able to listen to other people. Because that was the kulam anoshim in that week's parasha, which the names, I'm great, my father's great, I come from Yichus, they ended up miraglim, they ended up apokorsim. These two, Kolev and Pinchas, who mevatel themselves to Das Torah, who completely cancel out their knowledge, became the Klicheres. These people willing to listen and to learn and to use what other people teach them, this is what made it successful, and this is this week's parasha.
Very much.